Hey folks, do you consider yourself a worrier? Now, I want to make sure you understood what I said. I didn't say a warrior, I said a worrier. In other words, do you let things bother you? Are you one of those people who has anxiety in your life simply because of the circumstances or situations that that you may be going through? Well, here's another question for you. If you are a worrier, why is it that you worry? If you're not a worrier, why is it that you don't worry? You know, what good does worrying do? Stick around. In just a moment, we're going to be looking at Rejoice in the Lord Always out of the book of Philippians chapter 4. See you in a minute. Hey folks, welcome back to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Just a moment ago, I asked you the question, if you were a worrier, not warrior, but worrier, do you let things bother you? Do you let something that happens or takes place ruin your day? Is it one of those things that whatever the circumstance or situation is continually on your mind? Why is it that it's that way for you? Sometimes if you're that worrier, sometimes you'll look at other people and you can say, how could you be so calm in the middle of a situation such as this? Well, we're going to take a look at the book of Philippians chapter 4. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn over there with us at some words of wisdom that we get that should help us to consider our perspective as we look at those circumstances and as we look at those particular situations that we have let affect us to the point where we become a worrier. So look with me, if you would, Philippians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading at verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful for this, once again, this opportunity just to be able to gather around your word. And Lord, we thank you for those that will be tuning in from many, many places. I pray that you will help us during these times to truly concentrate upon the Holy Spirit's movement in our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would, above all things, speak to us today. Lord, if there's adjustment in our lives that need to be made, I pray that we will make those adjustments in a way that will be pleasing to you and beneficial for us. Now, Lord, for these moments, I pray that you would use this, your messenger, that you would be lifted up, that you would be exalted, and Lord, that we will go away from this Bible study differently than we were when we started it. And Lord, again, we just give you thanks for each and everything and each and every blessing in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we were looking at these particular passages, our text tells us, first of all, let me lay it out. Paul was actually in jail in Rome at the time of this writing. He was there because he was preaching the gospel, but yet he writes that we should rejoice in the Lord always. Now, when you look at that perspective, many people would sit back and say, well, is Paul just writing this because this is something that he should say or something that he should do? Or is this a circumstance and situation that he truly lives every day of his life? Now, again, keep in mind, Paul is in jail in Rome, and yet he is telling people that they should rejoice in the Lord. Not only is he telling people that, Paul is being an example of rejoicing in the Lord and not allowing circumstances and situations to determine how he feels in his walk with the Lord. You've heard me say that if you've been around Central Baptist Church for any amount of time, that we have to be careful that we don't allow our circumstances to dictate our faith. Well, I've given it that term, circumstantial faith. And a lot of us do that. We're very guilty of doing those things because we're tending to live in the here and now more really than we should. And let me just give you an example of that. I mean, yeah, maybe your day started off great. The sun was shining. Maybe it was a little brisk like it is now, but the sun was shining and you just had joy in your heart. And then all of a sudden, all these little erosion things started happening in your life. And before you knew it, that one telephone call changed your whole perspective on the day. And then you began to worry about, whatever it may be, your job, your children, whatever the case may be. Man, there are some people, you know them, and you might even be one of them, that just worry about everything. There have probably been times in your life, if you're that worrier, that somebody has said, man, you need to relax a little bit. Hey, what does worry prove? What does worry do for you? Is it beneficial for you? We're going to cover that in just a moment. But if you look there in verse 4, Paul actually repeats something twice. Look with me at verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He's telling people, rejoice. And look at my situation. I'm in jail, and yet I am still going to rejoice in the Lord because God truly is good. God is good through our circumstances. He is good through our situations. Even when it doesn't seem like it, there are times I know that in your life and in my life, we look and say, how is this good? What good can come out of this? And some of those answers to those questions, we may never get on this side of glory, but someday we will see. It's in times like that that we just have to trust God's plan for what's taking place, God's plan for our life. Now, I know that many times there have been situations where somebody was worrying about, particularly through this pandemic, they were worried about their job. And it turned out that they wound up actually losing their job. They were worrying about it all the way up till they lost the job. They worried about it after they lost the job. They worried about taking a new job. And then when they took the new job and they got through the crisis or the circumstance in their life, all of a sudden what they realized was that God had moved them from where they were to where He wanted them to be. And He did so in such a fashion that it was more advantageous for them. So folks, we just need to trust that the Lord's plan is right. We need to trust that the Lord's plan is perfect. And He wants us to have a full, abundant, and joyful life. Okay? So He's saying, rejoice in the Lord. In jail, He says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. As believers, we have reasons to rejoice in the Lord, even when the times are tough. God has truly been good. I love the old hymn, Count Your Blessings. Many of you probably heard that. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Instead of focusing on the crisis in our life, we need to focus on the master who is in control of the crisis in our life. I also like to use Peter in this example. When Peter was out with the fellas in the boat and the storm came in and they were all worried that they were going to die and they saw Jesus walking out there, Peter said, Lord, if that's you, let me come out there to where you are. And Peter was doing a great job as long as he had his focus upon the master. It wasn't until he took his focus off of the master and he put his focus on the storm, that's when he started to sink. Folks, today, maybe you're in a pile of worry. I'll just call it that. My question is, are you trusting the Lord to work in your situation? Are you looking for what it is that God is trying to do or teach you or what He's trying to accomplish through that crisis that's in your life? Let me make you this promise. Everything that is happening in your life is happening for a reason, and it is part of the will and plan of God. Okay, so those are things we need to consider, especially when we're in the middle of that worry. Okay, now I'm hoping that you won't find yourself in the middle of worry after we get done looking at God's word today, because He gives us some pretty stern words about that. Now, when we go back and consider our passage that we're looking at here in Philippians, Paul says in verse 5, let's go to verse 5 for just a second, but he says, let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Now, folks, what that basically means is that, particularly as a believer, the Lord is there. He is truly in the middle of your circumstances, even when it doesn't look like it. Even when it seems like we're crying out in prayer and God is not there, He is there. He is at hand. He is in the middle of your circumstance. The one that you're thinking about right now, the circumstance, the thing you're worrying about right now, let me reassure you, God is right there and He is in the middle of it. Now, sometimes He is not being very vocal in the midst of our crisis. We're crying out to Him and we don't feel like we're hearing anything. Sometimes God says you need to wait and you need to learn the lessons I want to teach you in the middle of the crisis, in the middle of the circumstance. And folks, by worrying about it, it's not going to be beneficial to you at all. Now, those are easy words to say. They're a lot harder when it comes down to making application to those in our lives. So, you know, he's given us a promise. He says, the Lord is at hand. This should be a promise that God is giving us that encourages us when we are facing those difficult times. That no matter what it is, no matter whether or not you don't seem to be hearing from God as you cry out to Him, I want to encourage you and let you know that God is in the middle of your circumstances. Those difficult times that you're facing right now, God knows what they are. He is in the middle of those crises in life, and there is a plan and there is a purpose. Now, I've said before, as we go through God's Word, we want to look for some commands to obey as we study the Scripture. You know, Paul gives some instruction to us instead of worrying or becoming anxious about something. Look at verse 6 with me. Verse 6 says this. It says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't be worried about these things. Be anxious for nothing. Verse 6, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So he's telling us, here's one of the things that we need to do. Folks, we really need to pray in all things. And all means all, and that's all that all means. In all things, including the strife, the worry that's in your life, God says what we're supposed to do. Verse 6, he tells us, he says, don't let it worry you. Don't be anxious about it. But in everything, in all things, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I also like how that verse in, or one of the identifiers in it, where he says prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving. Sometimes it's hard for us to be thankful in the middle of that worry and in the middle of those crises. It's hard to be thankful for the circumstances and the situations that we are going through, and yet that is what Paul is telling us that we should be doing. He said that we should be thankful even in the middle of our crisis and even in the middle of those circumstances. Okay? That I know that's a challenge, and maybe you want to pick that up as a challenge today, that it, particularly as you go through that anxiety of the day, the thing that has you just bunched up in knots. First of all, have you prayed about it? Have you taken it to the Lord? Have you said, Lord, I'm in the middle of this situation that you know what it is, and I need your help and I need your guidance. Have you prayed about that thing you're worrying about? Okay. And then have you said, Lord, although this is not a place I want to be, I am thankful that you are still active in my life. I'm praying, Lord, I know you want me to take my hands off of it and give it to you so that you could do something incredible in my life. Are you looking for the incredible thing that God wants to do through the circumstance or situation that is causing you such great anxiety? Now, you know, we call that anxiety worry. Yeah. What are you worrying about today? Now, you've probably just thought about it. Some of you had this whole list you just brought up. Well, I'm worried about this and that, and I'm worried about my kids, and I'm worried about my job, and I'm worried about all these other things. So let me ask you this, and I want you to just answer this in your heart. Is worry a sin? Now consider it. Is worry a sin? Now, some of you that sit back and say that you are worrying about all these different things, you know that worry is a sin. You know, and you know exactly that you're not supposed to be doing that. You know that the Bible tells us that if we're going to sit there and be anxious and worry about these things, then it's an indicator that we're not trusting God through the circumstance or situation. Now, remember what I asked you. I said, is worry a sin? You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to share this passage with you out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and beginning with verse 25. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay, so that should answer the question for you. Is worry a sin? Emphatically, yes. That is pointed out in scriptures. As I read those, and I've referred to those scriptures many times in my life and many times over the course of ministry, when I get to that part where it says, consider the birds of the field, they don't go out and plant and store up. You don't ever see, a bird out there cultivating some sort of a garden when it's summertime to try to store up. You don't see it out there, trying to create a worm farm so that it can have food and pack it, vacuum pack it and put it in a freezer so that it's there in the wintertime. No, the bird is carefree. It's flying around. It's enjoying the bounty that God gives it in its particular moments in time. It doesn't worry a single bit about it. But yet it says it goes all the way through the winter and it lives through the winter because God is the one that is making provision for those birds. And then he goes on to say this: if God's going to take care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field in the manner in which he does, how much more important are you, a human being, a child of the King? God says, I'm going to take care of you. Folks, your parents take care of their children. Yeah, or they should. I know this is a crazy society that we live in right now, but most of you would sit back and say, you know what? I would do anything for my children. I love my children. I sacrifice for my children. There's nothing I wouldn't do for them that they might have a good life. Well, think about this. That's just a very minute portion of how you feel about your children compared to how God feels about us. God is going to take care of us through those circumstances. Now that we understand that worry is a sin, let me take it a step further. What does worry accomplish? What good comes from worrying about something? I believe it's an old expression, obviously not original to me, but it says that about 95% of the things that we worry about never come to fruition. They never happen. And yet we spend all this time worrying about it. I remember several years ago that I had gotten, I'd been to have my annual physical, and it was on a Friday, and I got back on Friday, and they had called and left a message at the house, and they said, this message is for Roy Carter. We need you to contact the doctor's office. Well, by the time I got the message, the doctor's office was closed. It was closed on Saturday. It was closed on Sunday. So I went through that whole weekend thinking, what's wrong? Something must be wrong. Something must be happening. And I let it worry me. I let that call worry me. So, man, I was watching the clock. When the doctor's office opened on Monday, I made the telephone call and I'm like, yes, my name is Roy Carter. I got a call on Friday that I needed to contact you folks about something. So they said, well, hold on, let me pull this up. And then the lady told me, she goes, oh, we just wanted to let you know that everything was just fine. All your levels of your blood work, everything was great. We'll see you next year. I spent that whole weekend worrying about something that never happened. And many of us will continue to do that. What was I doing in the middle of that? Boy, I prayed a lot. I certainly did. Now, prayer can accomplish many things. I want to share another passage with you out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning with verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, I want to put a little caveat in there. This is 100% true. Where it talks about, you know, ask and you shall receive. But folks, one of the problems is we too often ask for the wrong things. If you go back and look at the model prayer that says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is chock full of information. In other words, we should be walking so closely with God that we are asking that his plan that he's already got planned out for our lives, that we're asking that to become a reality as we walk in our everyday life. Now, God says he's going to provide us with all of our needs. He doesn't say he's going to provide us with all of our wants. And too often we get those things mixed up. So don't allow this to become some sort of prosperity theology for you. God doesn't say that just because you want a brand new Lexus, and because you pray for it, that you should have the brand new Lexus in your driveway. That is not what this is stating whatsoever. So I think that's one of the things that we've got to understand. God wants us to be praying that his will that he's already got planned for our lives in heaven, that his will would be done through us on earth. So, you know, that kind of puts a different little spin on that. That doesn't mean just go out and just start asking for things like God is some magic lamp and you rub it and he's going to give you all the wishes in the world that you want. That's not what that means. And there are a lot of people who misinterpret that scripture to mean exactly that. In this day and age. That's not what that means. It means that as you seek him, as you walk close to him, your desires should be his desires, and your desires should be the plan that the Father already has planned out in heaven for you. Okay? Again, what does worry accomplish? Yeah. Prayer accomplishes many, many things. As we take those things to him, we're not praying for prosperity theology, but yet we're asking God to work in our lives. He knows what our hearts are. He knows what our anxieties are when it comes down to those type things. Okay? So, yeah, as we've gone through our Bible studies, I've always asked you to look for a command to obey. So what does Paul instruct us to do instead of worrying, or instead of becoming anxious? Verse 6 tells us that. Yeah, Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." So we need to be thankful. "Lord, I'm thankful for all that you're doing in my life. I'm carrying this situation to you. You know the heavy burden I'm carrying. You know the anxiety that is trying to take over my life through this situation. And I don't want it to be that way, Father. I want this to be a circumstance and a situation that honors and glorifies you. I don't want to be anxious. I want to turn it over to you, and I want to let you handle it. And I want to be attentive to what it is that you have for my life." You know, we said before, what is it that worry is accomplishing? You know, what different words for prayer does Paul use, and how would you define those words in verse 6? Prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. How do you define those in your life? How do you carry those things into the presence of the Father? Yeah, when we pray with heartfelt prayers, with heartfelt supplication, with heartfelt thanksgiving, Paul gives us a tremendous promise that we can claim there in verse 7. In verse 7, he goes on and he says, when we do that, when we go to him with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, he says, and verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I have used that expression so many times, the peace which passes all understanding. Now, folks, that doesn't mean that your situation that has created your anxiety has just completely gone away. No, what it means is you are trusting God to work in your life. You are trusting God to sustain you through it and to deliver you from it. And you are trusting Him to do so. You're placing it in His hands. And when you can do that, there will be a peace that you cannot even describe. That verse 7 says, the peace that can surpass all understanding. You can't even describe it to other people. Man, that is a true peace. That's when you can put your head on a pillow at night and go to sleep. You can shut your mind off and not worry because you know God is taking care of that situation for you. So when we think about that, how is it that prayer can help us to overcome those worries and anxieties? I'm going to give you another passage of scripture that comes out of the book of Hebrews. It's chapter 4, verse 16, and it says this. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, there's a lot of comfort that we should be able to gather out of that verse 16. Think about it again. Let me give it to you again. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. That means we can come into the presence of the Father through Jesus the Son. And we can say, Lord, this situation right here is bothering me. This is a situation that's on my heart, that's on my mind. It's causing me stress. It's causing me all these different things. But I'm going to leave it with you. I realize I can't do anything to change it, but you can. Father, I'm going to trust you because you love me and you know my life. So I'm laying it at your feet for you to take care of. And Lord, I'm going to let my heart let go of it as well because I've just placed it in your hands. It says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. God having mercy upon us, and that we might find grace, that unmerited favor, to help us in our time of need. Because, you know, when we do that, listen, there are people who are non-praying people that when it comes time to having circumstances and situations in their life, they become praying people. You know, I like to hope that they know the Master enough that as they're praying, that their prayer is getting into His presence. And when I say that, I mean, are they believers or are they not? Okay, so we've got a great, great promise that we can claim in verse 7 about what God is going to do. He's going to give us that peace. He's going to give us everything that we need to be able to navigate the circumstance as we follow Him. Now, yeah, so let's just say we've done that. We've got that circumstantial faith going on. We've gone to the Lord. We've prayed about it. You know, we're sensing that peace. We're releasing our prayer requests to God. There's also a list of things that Paul said that we should think about as we do this. We've given it to God. Verse 8, he tells us what we should do. He says this. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know what he's telling us to do at that point? He's sitting there thinking about the positive. Count your blessings. Praise be to God for all the things that He's done. Instead of looking at the things that we're struggling with or the things that we don't have, we need to go to God and be thankful for the things that we do have. We need to think about the things that are positive, the things that are pure. We don't need to sit there and think about, well, what is this circumstance going to do to me? Nothing's going to happen to you without the permissive will of the Father. And you have just taken and presented and released your prayer request to God of those things. Now let's look for His answers. Let's think about the positive things. Let's not get so negative. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us in our lives, there have been times when there are negative people. Some of you, I just thought of a name right now of somebody that you know that is a negative person. They don't say anything. You really don't want to be around them because it's like they can suck the joy right out of your life. I call them joy suckers. And anything that you say positive, they have some negative thing to say about it. You know, somebody may come up and they're like, well, what do you think of my new haircut? And you're like, oh, man, that really looks great. And then, you know, Joe Negative over there is like, well, I think it's a little bit too short on the sides. And they can just be so negative and suck the joy out of you. Don't allow those things to happen. Paul is telling us here that in the midst of those worries, as we presented them to the Lord, then let's think on the positive things. Let's think up on the things that are going to help grow us spiritually. Let's think about the things that are positive so that we don't find ourselves being having all the joy sucked out of our lives or sucking all the joy out of someone else's life. You know, I like what we read in Philippians 4:13, that Paul makes this incredibly bold statement of faith, even in difficult times, when he says this. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All things. I can do all those things through him, which gives me the strength. Listen, let's not worry about the things or the circumstances. Because if you build your faith based on circumstances, if your life is all about when things are good, and if that's what you're propping your faith upon, you're going to be very, very disappointed. Because life has its ups, it has its downs. It has its peaks, it has its valleys. You will walk through the valleys of the shadow of death. You are going to walk through tough, tough times. But how's it changing your attitude? Are you allowing the circumstances of your life, the worries of your life, to change your attitude? Why is it that you think many believers today have an I can't do it attitude? I just can't do this anymore. I'm walking away from it. I'm not going to do it. Well, part of it's because they're relying upon their own strength. They haven't necessarily taken it to the Lord in prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. They haven't turned it over to him to say, Lord, my life is not my life. It is yours. Use me. And Lord, I'm not comfortable right here, right now. And let me just say one thing too. God never promised that every circumstance, every situation we would be in would be 100% comfortable all the time. Remember, Paul is writing the passage we're studying tonight from jail. Now, nobody's sitting back going, oh, goody, goody, I get to go to jail. I'm sure that wasn't Paul's attitude. But yet at the same time, he didn't allow the circumstance of his life to take the joy of the Lord out of it. Are you experiencing the joy in the Lord? Do you have an I can't do it attitude, or do you have an I can do it attitude? Prayer can help us to develop the I can do this attitude. I can take one step at a time. I can get through these circumstances and situations. I can praise the Lord in doing so, and God will teach me many things. He will carry me to a new level of knowing him and walking with him if we will only allow that to happen. So when you think about the circumstances and situation, what role does worry and fear play in what's taking place in your life? Yeah, is it dictating who you are? Is it robbing you of all the joy? When people see you, do they just see you, you know, all staring off in space because you're so preoccupied with what's taking place in your life that you're worrying about? You know, remember I said there's an I can't do it attitude and there's an I can do it attitude. Which of these attitudes do you possess? Now, if you sit back and say, well, okay, I chose A or B, I can't do it, or I can do it. Okay, why is it that you possess that attitude? Have you been properly taking things to the Lord through prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving? Have you been making your request known to him? And then as you have you been trusting him to handle your situation? Okay, think about it for a moment. I want you to think about one of those instances or an occasion when you experienced the supernatural peace of God, even in difficult times. Yeah, here around our church lately, over the past month, we've had a lot of folks who have gone on to be in their heavenly home with the Father. And we're sad here on earth. But you know, I have observed the supernatural peace of God in the hearts and the lives of these families. That doesn't mean that they don't have sorrow. That doesn't mean that they don't miss their loved ones. But I have seen God in a supernatural way give these folks peace because of knowing that their loved one is in heaven with the Master right now. And those are the things that they're hanging on to get through the difficult time. That, my friend, is the peace that passes all understanding as the Lord guides you and as the Lord leads you. You know, that is what made the difference. God in the presence of your situation is going to be what is going to determine whether you have an I can do it attitude or an I can't do it attitude. So as we pray throughout this week, we need to pray today and as we go through this week that we will learn to pray about everything and rejoice in the Lord always. Not just sometimes. That's why if you're familiar with our church or if you've ever been around, I will say this. I will say, God is good. And you'll say, all the time. And I say, and all the time, God is good. That means in every circumstance. That means in every situation. It's not something we say as a cliche or a catchphrase. It is a reminder that whether we're having a good day, yeah, God is good. Whether we're having a bad day, God is still good. And we need to remember that. That's what our focus needs to be on. And that's what we're going to pray here for in just a moment. But for right now, I want to go ahead and give you your Bible readings for this week. If you're just joining us, maybe for the first time, one of the things we do is we'll take five different chapters of the Bible. We'll read one chapter a day, not asking you to read a whole bunch. Like I said, if you most people, if you have any time whatsoever, you can sit down and read one chapter. I just would like for you to do that, concentrate on that chapter. And as you know, there's 7 days in a week. I'm only asking you to do five chapters, one for each day of the week for 5 days during this week. This week, we're actually going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3 through 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Okay, Colossians chapter 3 through 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. That's only five passages. Now, next week, we're going to talk about putting on the new self out of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. So as you come across that reading this week, spend a little extra time and study there. As you do so, we'll look forward to seeing you here next Wednesday evening for our Bible study. Now, before I close in prayer, I want us to really remember the family of Larry Fogelman. Day before yesterday, Larry went on to be with the Lord. So we want to remember his family as they adjust to life without Larry. I'm grateful and thankful that this is a situation where that supernatural peace that passes all understanding. His family knows he's with Jesus and they know he's better off, but our hearts still hurt because we miss our loved ones here. We also want to remember to continue to lift Donna Miller in prayer as she continues her recovery. She had some setbacks with some allergies to some medications and that sort of thing, so she's still got a way to go in her recovery. We will continue to lift her up. And then as you think about it, as you want God to bless you, remember, folks, particularly during these times of pandemic, we need to be faithful to our tithe and offering. If you don't have a home church, we encourage you to support our church. You can do so financially by going to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. There is a giving tab there. You can also, if you're in the area, you could drop it by the church. If you're here on Sunday, you can drop it in the offering plate. And again, folks, this is not just about keeping the heat on and the lights on. This is about God wanting us to be obedient to his command to give back to him the tithe that he might bless us. I've said this so many times. If God can't trust us with what we've got now, how could he ever give us anything more? May we be found faithful to the tithe and the offering, okay? Listen, I pray you're going to have a great week. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we just ask you to help us. We know that for many folks that are with us and in the sound of my voice today, Lord, that worry is a problem. It is something that plagues them every day. Lord, I pray that their faith might become stronger through your word, that worry becomes a thing of the past, that they will turn the situations and circumstances over to you, and that they will trust you. And as they see you move in that supernatural kind of way, Father, that they would just continue to grow stronger and stronger and stronger in their walk with you. Lord, whatever that circumstance today is that is plaguing them with worry, I pray that you will give them relief, that they will experience the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to rejoice in the Lord. And as Paul said, rejoice always. May we be a blessing to someone today and everywhere we go. May we reflect you in such a manner that people say there's something different about him or her, and I want what that is. And give us a chance to share Jesus with them. Lord, we pray that you'll bless each and every hearer that's heard this word today because they spent the time to just spend some moments with you. Lord, give us a great week as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, I look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday at Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you're tuning in from somewhere else, find you a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church in your area. Get in there, learn, draw closer to the Lord, and get busy for the kingdom's sake. God bless.